So the story that you're about to listen to is called The Pet Shop Boy, not related to the
musical group,
The Pet Shop Boy.
This was from this was the fifth story from episode 6.
It was.
I think we might have upgraded equipment at this time.
We might have slightly upgraded. I can't quite remember now, but yeah. So
this was yours, wasn't it? The Pet Shop Boy.
Yeah. So hopefully the audio is better. And again, set in Cliffley, and we started seeing, you know, more about the outskirts of Cliffley and the type of corporations that sort of govern the area, if you like.
Yes, we introduce you to Coma Pharmaceuticals.
Coma Pharmaceuticals again may have become a recurring factor in some of the stories. I can't quite remember now, but. They're doing all sorts of experiments.
So up to now, we're three stories in to the Cliffley saga, and we've already got potential human sausages being made, robots being dug up, and in this story, animals being harvisted for their
rabbit milk, I think it was.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Even though it's actually hamsters or something in the story.
But again, if you're offended by such tales of animals being tested on, I do apologise. That wasn't the intention, but it's all in jest. So.
Everything on this podcast is all in jest, especially the stories, because, you know, sometimes you've just got to get some cheap stuff in there.
You do. Cheap.
Crude. I've been watching a lot of Paradise PD. That's very crude.
Oh, mate. Classic. Yes. So, yeah, The Pet Shop Boy. I think this is where I started finding my feet with the stories, Judas. I'd say I enjoyed writing this one from what I can remember. So, yeah.
Yes, it was a good one.
Thank you.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy The Pet Shop Boy in the Cliffley Saga. Continuing now.
Podcast.
Alf's Animal House, a family-owned pet shop, sat at the end of Ramsey Street in the old cobbled town of Cliffley. Cliffley. It had been there for donkey's years, no pun intended. You don't get donkeys in pet shops anyway, so that's shit, isn't it?
You might do.
That doesn't bode well for the rest of the story. So anyway, it was Alf Greatwood's business and had been since he inherited it from his father, also called Alf, many moons ago. It was a small shop, but he had crammed in and stocked the kind of pets you would come to expect from a traditional pet shop. Hamsters, rabbits, cockatoos, goldfish, gerbils and lizards adorned the walls of the shop in their tanks and cages, scurrying and swimming about, depending on what species they were.
So they're alive?
Yes.
Because when I get that adorned on the wall, I just imagine them to be like taxidermied.
The cages and tanks are adorned.
I was going to say, that's not a good start, is it, if his animals are dead?
Not a good start. So, in the middle of the shop, Alf had a new litter of puppies, golden retrievers, 7 altogether, all bouncing about in a newborn daze. Gazing at the puppies from above was Clarence, the shop's famous parrot. Clarence wasn't for sale. He was Alf's pride and joy, and had quite the vocabulary.
Ooh.
Alf, now deep into his 70s with his withered ankles, adjusted his flat cap and wiped his coffee-stained hands on his blue overalls, then reached to the counter and took a massive swig of his steaming hot Colombian dark bean brew. His coffee.
Fancy.
Ah! Well, Clarence. Alf glanced up to the big red parrot. Would you take a look at these bitches? He gestured towards the puppies with his mug. Bitches? Clarence squawked. Alf shook his head. I should be able to sell them quite quickly. Hopefully, they'll be gone by the time I get back off me holidays.
Holidays?
Clarence squawked once again. Alf turned to the counter and leafed through a copy of the Daily Sport.
Ooh.
It was a slow day in the shop, but as always, he was kept entertained by both Clarence's outbursts and also the smutty entertainment which ladened Britain's favourite filth rag.
It is a bit dirty, the Daily Spell, from what I recall.
Oh, would you look at them bangers, Alf muttered under his breath, as the door to the shop swung violently open. Bangers, bangers, Clarence repeated, going absolutely crazy
Clarence
in his cage.
Is fantastic.
Alf thought he was going to burst out of the cage. Hello, Uncle Alf. A youthful-looking gentleman walked into the middle of the shop, petting the puppies, whilst unfurling a Brexit-themed scarf from around his neck. Sam, good to see you, lad, Alf responded, and walked round the side of the counter to give the new arrival a hug. Sam? Sam? Clarence shouted. Sam was Alf's nephew, and was going to be looking after the shop whilst Alf was away on his holiday. Hi, Clarence, Sam responded to the big red parrot that was now going fucking daft in its cage. Calm down, Clarence, Alf shouted. Calm down, calm down, Clarence squawked. I bet you can't wait for your holiday again, Uncle Alf, Sam asked whilst taking off his red MAGA hat and ruffling his ginger hair. Where are you going again? Aye, lad, I can't bloody wait. I'm ready for it now. Just off to Skegness for a couple of weeks. Got it from some coupons in Daily Sport. Very nice, Sam responded in a sarcastic tone. Very nice, very nice, Clarence squawked.
Poor Clarence, I bet he wants to go as well.
Sam looked at the big red parrot and thought, this is going to be one long fortnight. Alf wasn't wasting any time. Holiday mode kicked in. He took his coat from the hanger, grabbed his copy of the Daily Sport, zipped up his fly and chucked the keys at Sam and pretty much ran out of the door while shouting, Bye Sam, you know what you're doing. Bye Clarence. Bye Clarence, Clarence repeated.
What was Alf doing? What was Alf doing before he
got through
the door?
I don't know, it's just, this is the story. Sam sighed, walked over to the counter and moved a month's worth of Daily Sport to one side. He noticed a piece of paper resting on the till. Sam opened it, and he recognised it was Uncle Alf's writing. The note read, Now then, Sam. Sam read the note in Alf's voice, much like you see characters doing in a romantic thriller of the 90s. You're an intelligent lad, and I didn't want to have to give you the third degree before I left on my holiday to Skeggers, so I thought I'd leave you with this note. Last time you looked after the shop, you sold most of the stock, which would have been good, except I lost a lot of money because you said you gave everyone a discount. I don't want that to happen again. The last part of the note was in capitals. So Sam knew Uncle Alf was not happy about his last stint he had had in the shop. Sam tossed the note to one side, put the kettle on and grabbed a copy of the Sport to leaf through. It was pissing it down outside and he didn't see anyone coming in to buy a Roborovsky dwarf hamster or a Kong Classic blue medium dog toy that day. Bangers, bangers, Clarence squawked. Alf was sat at the bar of Buster's Fun Club in Skegness. It was a week into his holiday, and he thought he had best just check in with Sam to see how things were ticking along at Alf's animal house. Alf rang Sam's mobile number. It rang and rang until it hit his voicemail. Hi. This is Sam. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm either working or I don't really want to talk to you. Feel free to contact Coma Pharmaceuticals if it's anything work-related. You got another pint, love? Alf hung up and nodded to the barmaid. Aye, that would be great. I am on my holidays after all. Alf then thought to himself, well, Sam won't be at the pharmaceutical company he normally works at. He should be looking after the shop. Alf proceeded to finger in the number of the shop into his phone. He sipped on the fresh pint which had just been presented to him. No answer. He tried again. No answer. For fuck's sake, Alf muttered.
It's not good, is it?
It's not good.
Shop might have burnt
down. What's happening? Alf proceeded to try and contact Sam multiple times that day, to no avail. Alf started to worry. He had no choice but to cut his holiday short and return to his little shop on Ramsey Street. He slammed down his pint, picked up his copy of The Sport, zipped up his fly, and rushed out of Buster's Fun Club.
What is going on? He seems to have a lot of trouserial problems when he's...
He does. I mean, sometimes you just forget, around, don't you? You just forget. Flying low. Alf had driven home at least 5 times over the drink drive limit, which in normal circumstances he wouldn't dreamt of doing. 3 times, maybe. However, his business was on the line. He was concerned about the animals at the pet shop and wondered what the hell had happened to Sam. Alf tried to remain positive. He hoped Sam's just that engrossed in Alf's collection of laminated past daily sport issues, he had missed the phone calls. But Alf didn't want to risk it.
He's into his daily sport, laminating them, isn't he?
Big collector. By this time, it was 5:30 p.m. So the shop would have just been closed. But Alf imagined Sam should still be closing up the shop and feeding the animals. Alf skidded to a halt outside the shop, nearly hitting a small boy on a skateboard. Ooh. Watch it, mister! You pedo! Alf didn't have time to stop and explain to the kid he was not a sexual offender. Instead, he stumbled through the shop door, which was unlocked. It was very dark in the shop, and because he was still both intoxicated and well into his 70s, Alf was struggling to see. Eventually, his eyes adjusted, and he was able to take in the current state of his business. The shop looked tidy. Tidy, but quiet. The first thing Alf noticed was the puppies were gone. Great, he thought. He knew they would sell quickly, and he thought about the cash that would be bursting out of his till. Ugh. As Alf looked past the empty dog pen, he noticed all of the cages were empty too. Only the goldfish remained in their tanks. He was about to check the till to make sure Sam, who was nowhere to be seen still, had actually sold everything at the correct price. It would have been an impressive week of sales if he had done so. Alf again thought about how he should be in the money. This week Skegness, next time Bognor Regis. Ooh. Before Alf could continue his fantasy of lazing in the West Sussex town, he noticed something very strange. The fact that most of the animals had sold was strange enough, but something else was missing. The reason for the deadly silence hit Alf like a ton of shitty concrete bricks. Clarence, his prized parrot, was missing.
Bastard.
Alf fumbled for his phone again and tried Sam's mobile number. Not once, not twice, but thrice more times. Each time going to his voicemail. Hi, this is Sam. I can't come to the phone right now. I'm either working or don't really want to talk to you. Feel free to contact Coma Pharmaceuticals if it's anything work-related. Alf looked down and noticed the till drawer was open. Inside it laid a £20 note, a £10 note, 2 £5 notes, and the rest in various forms of change to make the amount up to its usual £50 float. Sam hadn't sold a thing. So where were all the pets?
Ooh.
Oh my God! Alf cried as he went to dial Sam's number again before he let the phone ring out to the voicemail once more. Alf glanced down at something shining on top of his collection of laminated vintage daily sports, an impressive collection.
I shouldn't keep them knocking about in the shop, do you really?
It was an impressive collection which Alf had started from the Risque Rags inception of 1991. The shiny object was Sam's work pass on a lanyard. The word lanyard comes from the French word lanier, which means strap or thong. Though we are used to seeing some pretty fancy lanyards today, the first were simple straps made of rope or cord found aboard a ship, tied around a pistol, sword or whistle.
It's very educational.
It is very educational.
No one has been knighted.
It's got a bit of everything, this. Alf grabbed the pass and a set of keys he'd left for Sam to lock up with. He exited the shop, quickly locking the door and spinning round, stumbling onto Ramsay Street. Alf punched the kid who called him a pedo in the face and raced off to the head office laboratory of Coma Pharmaceuticals to hopefully find Sam and find out exactly what had happened to the shop. The lab was exactly 2 miles away on the outskirts of Cliftleigh. Alf was aware he looked out of place as he approached the main entrance to Coma Pharmaceuticals, a massive futuristic looking building. Locals from Cliffley were always rallying outside in protest at some of the products the company was responsible for, due to them being unethically produced and tested. Alf was still wearing his favourite Hawaiian shirt and shorts he loved to wear as he bar crawled in Skegness. But he thought, screw it, and put Sam's lanyard around his neck. Alf walked straight through the main entrance, past the security guard watching Murder, She Wrote on his phone. Alf swiped himself through the turnstile. He was amazed the security didn't even bat an eyelid.
Thought they would, seeing as how out of place an old man wearing a Hawaiian shirt and shorts would be walking through. I bet he answered that every day.
Alf studied Sam's pass as he stood in a long corridor. Level 0, west, it stated. Alf saw a lift and hopped in as the doors opened. He hit the 0 button. Alf muttered to himself, I'm like frickin' James Bond. But then got sad again when he remembered what had happened at the shop and the fact he'd lost Clarence. Hopefully he could find Sam and get some answers. The lift door slid open. Alf seemed to be at basement level. The walls were bare concrete rather than the fancy lit plastic panelling on the upper levels. The lights flickered. There was a sign on the wall with two arrows, one pointing left, one pointing right. The arrow pointing left read west, and the arrow pointing right read east, as per Sam's pass. Alf headed left down a long dark corridor.
Ooh, foreboding.
Alf could hear a noise he was used to hearing. It was an unmistakable noise of a hamster wheel going hell for leather in the middle of the night. An utterly annoying but familiar sound to anyone who is privileged enough to own a rodent-based companion. Alf approached the door where the noise was coming from and quietly pushed it open. The room contained cages and cages of hamsters. Alf recognised them all. The Chinese hamster, the winter white dwarf, the generic Syrian, and of course the Roborovsky hamster.
Roborovsky hamster.
The Roborovsky hamster. They were all there. As Alf got even closer, he recognised the cages from his shop. Except on closer inspection, the hamsters looked different. They were bigger. They were ripped. Alf reached into the nearest cage and picked one up. It had a tiny six-pack. What have they done to my fucking hamsters? Alf muttered. All of a sudden, Alf heard another unmistakable noise coming from an adjacent room. Bangers, bangers! A squawking voice shouted out from beyond some plastic curtains which separated the rooms, much like plastic curtains you get in a bitch. Shit. Sorry, I can't. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
For anyone listening, I'm currently got a trapped nerve in my back, and the fact that I have just been crying with laughter
wrong,
at that.
Man, I got that wrong. Let me start that bit again. Crying, shit. Sorry, I'm right.
Oh, plastic that separated a bitch's room.
Man, right. Okay,
bitch's room.
Start that bit again, sorry.
It's not even funny, pull yourself together.
Bangers, bangers! A squawking voice shouted out from beyond some plastic curtains which separated the rooms, much like plastic curtains you get in a butcher's or a fishmonger's. Clarence! It had to be! Alf thought. He chucked the hench hamster back in the cage, where it resumed its wheel-based workout. Alf shuffled towards the door, where he hoped he would see his prized parrot once again. He pushed through the plastic curtains and was greeted with a horrific sight. A sight that would haunt him for the rest of his estimated lifespan of 79.2 years. Lines and lines of rabbits in cages, all being milked. Tubes twisted and turned throughout the room, attached to different pumping mechanisms. Alf followed the demented mechanical setup around the room until his eyes set upon a naked body. Laid limp and face down on a metal table in the middle of the crazy setup, two tubes of rabbit milk being pumped intravenously through each wrist and another pipe up the subject's arse. Alf recognised the ginger hair on the slumped body.
Oh, dear.
It was Sam.
Alf? Alf?
Alf looked up. It was Clarence in his cage. He seemed okay, but like the hamsters, he seemed stronger and bigger. His wings flapping powerfully like veiny sheets of metal. Oh, Clarence! Alf shouted with delight from seeing his feathered friend.
Sam? Sam? Milk? Milk? Twat? Twat?
Clarence squawked. What the bloody hell is going on? Alf shouted. Alf glanced back at the table. Sam wasn't anywhere to be seen. Just then, blam! Alf was hit around the back of the head, and darkness surrounded his OAP vision. Alf awoke, strapped to a chair, now in a smaller room, with a single light bulb swinging back and forth. What is it about the lighting situation down here, he thought. Out of the darkness, Sam moved towards Alf, still stark bollock naked, with a drip on wheels, which appeared to still be pumping rabbit milk into his arm. I'm sorry, Uncle Alf. I was going to put the money for the animals in the till. You'd have been none the wiser. However, I had to rush to work. You see, I've had a breakthrough. Put some goddamn clothes on, Alf muttered, or shouted. We can't be bashful now, Uncle Alf. Look at me as rabbit milk courses through my veins.
He's not right.
I've stumbled on the Holy Grail. I'm going to make millions. Why do you have to take me pets? Alf questioned, whilst wriggling in his seat. Coma Pharmaceuticals wouldn't give me the funding. They're too busy drugging the kiddies to see my vision. The secret is rabbit's milk. The tests on the hamsters were successful. By running in their wheels, they are now producing enough energy to power Stoke, Sam said, with a big smug grin on his face. You're mad, you are. A hamster should be in a bairn's bedroom. Not tested on by you, Muppets, Alf shouted. I'm the first human subject. The rabbit milk has unique qualities. I'm stronger than ever. Imagine the world's best athletes on this stuff. Imagine the military applications. Just imagine. Sam grunted as he seemed to be raging on the bunny's milky goodness. Alf started chuckling. Imagine this, Sam. Alf had wriggled free while Sam had continued with his sordid monologue. Alf reached for a rolled-up Daily Sport in his back pocket. Ooh. He bashed Sam around the face with the tightened-up filth post. Whack! Sam didn't flinch. His pumped frame was not going to be moved by an old man with a newspaper. The crumpled latest edition of the Sport fell to the floor and limped open on a full-page spread. Alf looked at the paper, then looked at Sam. He knew what he had to do. He whispered, "Bangers!" A crashing noise came from outside the room, and the sound of strong flapping wings. Whoosh! Whoosh! Ugh. It was Clarence, the rabbit's milk-infused hench Clarence. "Bangers! Bangers!" he squawked. He flew over Alf's shoulder and headed beak-first into Sam's eyes.
Bloody hell.
"You bastards!" Sam screamed, as Clarence went to town on the naked maniac's face.
It's very violent.
Just then, two of Coma Pharmaceuticals' security team burst into the room. "What the chuff is going on here?" one of the security men shouted, and proceeded to taser both Alf and Sam. Clarence just flew off. Just then, hundreds of super-strong hamsters scurried into the room, overpowering all four men. There was nothing left of the men when a clean-up team went in 2 months later.
Bloody hell.
Simon Spinkter, the executive chief in charge of Coma Pharmaceuticals, sat in his massive office, swiveled in his leather chair, and laughed as he saw the headline of that morning's Daily Sport, whilst enjoying his morning coffee. It read, "Hamsters killed my family." The paper that morning featured an interview by Alf's widowed wife, who was also modelling in the famed newspaper's Reader's Wives section. Mr. Spinkter knew the shocking truth, and knew a lot of the Daily Sports headlines were in fact true. They were just that ridiculous the general public would never believe it, And to this day, Vekoma Pharmaceuticals pumped out dodgy pills and rabbit milk, whilst Alf's Animal House sits empty. People still talk about the giant parrot seen around Cliffley. The legend of Clarence lives on, and you can often hear him shouting, "Bangers!" from the rooftops of Ramsay Street. The end.
Dave Judas. Moody. The Empty-Headed Podcast.